I invite you to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we are continuing to work through this gospel together. I want to encourage you as you gather around your computer or your TV to watch these services that you would grab your Bible, maybe get a notebook, something to write with so you can take notes and enjoy this time of studying the Word of God. And we're going to continue, Lord willing, to work through the Gospel of Matthew together. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Beginning in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lessons on the water. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help during this time. Father, we come before your precious throne of grace. We come as a scattered and yet gathered people of God. We come in a time of unease around the world. Lord, we woke up to news this morning that the death toll from the coronavirus here in the States is over 2,000 now. News this past week that hospitals are limiting those who can accompany patients to the hospital, and there's news everywhere, every day around us that can easily unsettle us, that can easily cause us to have fear or worry or panic. And yet we hear the precious, powerful words of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in our text today, Father, who says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Father, as your people, in these days, Father, may we, as never before, draw near to you and understand just how near you are to us. And may we find comfort and faith and strength and joy and hope and peace. all of the wonderful things, Father, that only come from your hand. May we look to you. Bless us, Father, as we look to this text. There are so many lessons here, lessons that we'll talk about today and other lessons that your Spirit will make application in our lives as we study together. You're teaching us, Father, and we're here to learn and we're here to give you glory. So be with us, Father, and teach us and keep us safe and healthy. Help us find a cure. And help us keep our eyes and our focus steady upon you, Lord, as you take us through this global situation. We ask for all of these graces and all of this help in Jesus' name. Amen. Lessons on the water. Last week, we looked at lessons from loaves and fish. We saw five lessons last week. We'll see five lessons this week. But I want us to see, first of all, by introduction, Jesus is orchestrating these lessons. Jesus is arranging these classrooms. Jesus is teaching these lessons to his disciples. In the instance of the loaves and the fish, it was Jesus who said, let the crowd stay and you feed, you give them something to eat. He orchestrated the lesson that was to come. Here in our text today, he's doing the same thing. He sends the disciples ahead of him in the boat onto the lake. He's preparing them. He's putting them not just in a boat. He's putting them in a classroom and he's going to teach them some lessons. Much needed lessons for their life, for their faith, for their salvation. And Jesus has lessons for us as well today. They're very good lessons. Now, sometimes they're hard lessons to learn, but they end with good, good results. We are disciples, just as these disciples. That means we are the students. Jesus is the teacher. We are the learners. Jesus is the master. We are the followers. Jesus is the leader. And Jesus will teach us today. Jesus will teach us through this passage that we study together today. Jesus will teach us each and every time we gather around God's Word, whether that be privately in our private daily study of God's Word, or whether that be as a family when we gather our entire family together and worship together, whether that be in small groups, Sunday school classes, discipleship classes, or whether that be when we gather as a body, either in the same building or on the same YouTube channel. Jesus is teaching us lessons. And he teaches us lessons through the circumstances in our lives. When we face circumstances in our lives, we're always faced with the challenge. Are we going to trust and rely on God's word? Or are we going to try trusting and relying on another source, another way, an alternative? Jesus teaches us through the godly counsel of others that he places around us, godly men and women that he places in our lives to help give us biblical clarity when we're navigating issues. And I'm sure that even during this time of turmoil and unknown and things changing, you've been counseled. You've heard counsel from others, good godly people in the faith that have counseled us during this time. Jesus teaches us through the nudging and the prompting and the convicting of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Jesus is constantly teaching us. The question is, are we learning the lessons that Jesus is teaching? Are we learning these lessons? And that was a question for the disciples in Matthew 14. It's a question for us today. So let's think about some of these lessons that we see from today's text. Surely there are more, but here's five that we can look at together. Number one, Jesus speaks peace to our fears. Jesus speaks peace to our fears. And we see this in verses 22 through 27. And thinking about the context leading up to when Jesus says those powerful words, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Notice that Jesus, once again, we'll just make note of it once again. Jesus intentionally put the disciples on a boat and sends them into troubled waters. Now, that's interesting. Jesus could have said, "Now, you guys stay right here. I'm going away from you for a little while to pray. And then when I get back to you, we'll get in a boat together and we'll cross." No, he sends them across the lake. He sends them into troubled waters. There's purpose here. There's intentionality here. Now, I said last week that Jesus never practices social distancing. And we all know that that is very true. That is absolutely true. Jesus promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, Jesus indwells us as his people. Jesus lives within us. We are never separated from our Savior. And by the way, that should bring great comfort to those who find themselves alone in this day. Maybe going to the hospital and having to go alone. We can rest assured as God's people, we are never alone. Jesus is always with us. And yet, there are occasions when Jesus creates a classroom in which it seems as though there is a distance. That there is an apparent distance. And when that occurs, we can be sure that Jesus is teaching us something. Jesus is teaching us something, and it's going to be good. Now, note also about the distance created. It wasn't smooth sailing, was it? It was a situation in which the disciples would realize there was some distance. The sea was raging. The wind and the waves were pounding the boat. The Bible says that the wind was against them, was pushing against their effort, their direction, their destiny. Sometimes life feels that way for us, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem as if some days or in some situations that everything seems to be working against you? Everything seems to be against us. Nothing seems to be going our way in a season of life or in a certain situation that we face. Everything is harder than it should be. Everything is more difficult than it could be. And I don't know about you, but when I face those circumstances, the first thing I do is get frustrated or get stressed or get weary with trying and trying and trying and seeming to be kicking against the pricks, to use a biblical term. And we tend to forget that if sailing was smooth yesterday, and yet it's difficult today. We're crossing the same lake in the same boat. Maybe Jesus is teaching us something. Maybe Jesus is teaching me something. Note also these disciples, now they've been fighting. They've been fighting against the wind and the waves basically all night. They've been up all night wrestling with this storm. The Bible says Jesus comes to them about the fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 hours before dawn. So by this time, they are soaked to the bone and they are tired. They've been battling this situation for the better part of the night. And all of their effort of rowing and rowing seems to be getting them nowhere. You know, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Well, 3 rows forward, 3 rows back. They're just trying, at this point, they're just trying to stay afloat. And then Jesus comes to them. Jesus comes to them. Now, certainly, Jesus came to them, that's wonderful, but it certainly wasn't in their timing, was it? They would have Jesus show up as soon as the first wave pounded against the boat. As soon as the first wind kicked up, they would have had Jesus show up right then. I mean, isn't that God's responsibility to keep our lives as comfort and free of difficulty as possible? It might not have been on their time, but Jesus shows up right on time in his timing, just as the Lord does in our lives so many times. But notice that Jesus' timing of showing up is after hours of struggle. After the hours of struggle. You see, Jesus is teaching them something. He's teaching them something wonderful. He's teaching them something powerful. He's teaching them something that they will never forget, that will sear into their mind and sear into their soul, and they'll live by the rest of their lives. In fact, all four gospel accounts will talk about this. Why? Because he showed up after the struggle. Jesus is teaching us something in the struggle. Jesus is teaching us something in the struggle that we would not have grasped. It would not have been so ingrained in our souls apart from the struggle. And boy, did he ever show up. Did he ever show up? He could have shown up another way, right? He could have shown up in another boat, maybe. While they were pushing against the wind and the waves, he could have walked around the lake and found them on the other side once they finally reached their destination. But that's not how Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up walking on the water, walking on the water. And now the fog begins to kind of move out of the way and clear, and we start understanding lessons. We start seeing things that Jesus is teaching, because if he's on the water, that's impossible. That's scientifically impossible. That is contrary to everything we know and observe by scientific method according to the laws of nature. This just doesn't happen. And in fact, some of you maybe have gone out during this time and you found yourself hiking the trail over at Lake Welchel. Well, next time you're down there, go down to the lake and take off across it and let me know how it goes. This doesn't happen. In fact, it's precisely the miracle accounts, just as this one in the New Testament and the Old Testament, that the atheist will dismiss the entire Bible. That the agnostic will say he just can't believe, because these stories, they seem too fanciful. They seem too irrational and illogical and mystical and magical. There is no way that a person can walk on the water unless the one who is walking on the water is the same one who created water, and therefore has the authority to have the water hold him up as he walks across it. The one who has authority over every ounce and molecule of his creation. You see, my friends, if you are God, you can walk anywhere you choose. Now remember, this isn't the first time that Jesus has demonstrated his authority over the wind and the waves. We saw back in Matthew 8, remember that? Jesus, this time, he's already in the boat with the disciples. He's asleep. A storm rages. They're frightened. They think the boat's going to be overturned and they're all going to drown. And they wake Jesus, and Jesus just speaks to the wind and the waves and they cease. And the surface of a raging, swelling sea becomes just as slick as glass. You see, if God can quiet the sea, he can walk on it too. That's the point. That's the lesson. Only God can do this. Therefore, Jesus must be God. He's not just a good man. Although he is a good man. He's not just a prophet. Although he is a prophet. He's not one of the first beings created by God. He is God. And he walks on water. Now you may be thinking, I wonder why Jesus now would immediately need to teach the disciples again that he is God, right after feeding 5,000 people with one sack lunch. You would certainly think about that. Did not the disciples fully appreciate and apprehend in that moment of the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus is God? Because you don't feed 5,000 plus people and have 12 baskets of leftovers with one meal, unless God is in the middle of it. Didn't the disciples get it that they were in the presence of God and God was at work and God was doing something marvelous and miraculous and wonderful and using them in the middle of it? According to Mark's account of this same miracle, and he tells them just like Matthew tells them, the feeding of the 5,000 and then the walking on the water. At the end of Mark's narrative about the walking on the water, here's what he says about the disciples. He says, they didn't understand the loaves. They didn't understand the loaves. And so Jesus sent them immediately to the same lesson. The same lesson. You see, after the loaves account, after this episode, when we get to the end of this episode, everyone in the boat, did you see there in verse 33? Everyone in the boat is saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They should have been saying that after the 12 basketfuls of fragments were collected. They should have been worshiping then. They should have been proclaiming him then, rejoicing then, declaring then. But that's missing in that account. That proclamation and that worship is missing. And we're just like them, aren't we? They had to have this lesson repeated. We're just like them. Jesus has to teach us the same lessons over and over and over, from one classroom to the next classroom to the next classroom, until it begins to sink in. Oh, sometimes we're so stubborn, we're so oblivious to what God is doing, what God is saying, how God is moving. But Jesus is faithful to keep teaching. How many times have you said, I don't know about you, but I know it's true about me. How many times have you said, I should have learned that by now. I should know that by now. I've been through enough experiences. I've studied enough of the Word of God to understand that by now. But Jesus is faithfully teaching again and again. Now that brings us up to these words where Jesus directly addresses them. Jesus speaks peace to our fears. Jesus directly addresses them and their fear. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. You may be asking yourself whether you are in overwhelming concern, whether you have moments or even days during this coronavirus crisis that you're unsettled or that you worry or you find yourself being concerned about something. It may be that situation. It might be because of that situation. We're concerned about the health of someone else. We're concerned about our income. We're concerned about our financial situation. There are things that are offshooting from this virus. And Jesus says, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Notice we say with all that's going around, with all that's happening to the disciples in the boat, with all that they are facing, now they think they've seen a ghost. The reason they can take heart, you may say, how can I take heart? How can I take heart if my finances are dwindling? If I have a friend or a loved one who's fallen with coronavirus or. How can I take heart? Here's how. It is Him. Jesus is with you. His presence is with you. We can take heart because Christ is with us. The disciples can take heart no matter what their situation is because Jesus is with them. It is I. That's how you take heart. It is I. Therefore, do not be afraid. We take heart. We take courage. We take faith because Jesus is with us. And when we take heart because Jesus is with us, there's no more room for fear. When we are in the middle of everything against us, when we are filled with fear, and when we are facing a global crisis, if we will listen closely to Jesus, He will directly address us and our fears. Take heart. Do not be afraid. Now, that first lesson was pretty long. We're going to hit these next four pretty quickly. Number two, Jesus wills what He commands when we trust and obey. Listen to that. Jesus wills what He commands when we trust and obey. Now, it's one thing for the Son of God to walk on water. It's quite another for Him to enable someone else to walk on the water. That is even a greater miracle. For you see, Peter in and of himself did not have the authority or the power within himself to walk on water. For Peter to walk on water, the power of God would need to be displayed in and through his life. If he would simply trust and obey, when Jesus said, come, if Peter would simply trust and obey, the awesome power of God would be displayed in his life. He's the only other human being in history to walk on water. Jesus said, come. He commanded Peter to do what Peter in and of himself could never do. To walk on water, to walk to him on water. Now that's the same as it was with the loaves and fish, right? Jesus commanded them to do what they couldn't do. Y'all feed this crowd of 5,000 plus. And Peter trusted and Peter obeyed and Peter came to Jesus on a liquid surface. Just as the disciples back with the loaves obeyed and begin, they had the crowd sit down and begin to distribute the food. Dear friends, we have yet to know the power of God at work in our lives if we would simply trust and obey. We sang it last week. For God wills, Christ wills what he commands when we trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead abides in us, dwells within us as his people. Trust and obey, friends, during this season, in every season, to see the power of God at work within us. I spoke of Augustine in last Sunday evening service. And one of his famous lines is speaking of our inability as sinners to come to God, and yet Jesus calls us to come to him. Augustine said, "Lord, command what you will, and will what you command." That's certainly a second lesson. Third lesson, and we know this, but we need to hear it again, don't we? We need to be taught this lesson again. Our faith ebbs and flows according to our focus. Our faith will ebb and flow. It will increase and it will decrease according to where we have our focus, where we have our attention. There was Peter walking on the water, coming to Jesus. There he is doing what no one else has ever done. The power of God was at full force in his life. The situation hadn't changed since he got in the boat, since he was in the boat. There were still wind and waves, but he took his eyes off of Christ. Life hasn't changed since you become a Christian. Life hasn't ceased to be, our life hasn't become trouble free since you've become a Christian. But sometimes we take our eyes off of Christ. Our focus drifts from our faith. And Peter began to worry about his surroundings. And as soon as he began to worry, he began to sink. And that is so true in our lives, isn't it, dear friend? Isn't it, church, when we begin to worry, when we take our focus off of God and his promises and his character and the gospel and Christ, our lives begin to come undone. We begin to sink. That hits close to home, doesn't it? We know the power of God in our lives in salvation. We know the power of God in answer to prayer. We know the power of God during the ups and downs of life. And yet there's still times, almost on a daily basis, that we take our eyes off of our only source of strength and life and faith. And when our faith shrinks, we sink. The lesson is clear, isn't it? Keep our focus on Christ, not our circumstances. Last two lessons. Number four, when our faith is small, Jesus remains faithful. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Because we do lose focus. We do lose focus from time to time, but when our faith is small, Jesus remains faithful. Now, Peter didn't have enough faith to stay afloat, but he did have a small ember faith there. He had enough faith to at least cry out to Jesus, to the only one in his situation who could save him. That's where we all are as sinners. Crying out to Jesus, who's the only one who can save us. Peter couldn't walk on water now, but he could cry. He could cry out to the only one who could save him. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear that. Because there are days when my faith grows weak. There are days when my faith grows small, when I begin to ebb and flow. And what a comfort to know that in my lowest times, in my weakest moments, when all I can do is cry to Jesus, that's all I need to do is cry to Jesus. And he is faithful. The Bible says he is faithful even when we are faithless. Notice over and over in this text that Matthew keeps saying immediately, immediately, immediately. And when he comes to verse 31, he says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Peter cried. Jesus was there. Peter cried out. Jesus was there. And Jesus will be immediately there for us to lift us up out of our miry bog and set our feet upon a rock. Now, Jesus does gently rebuke him, doesn't he? He saves him. And then he gently rebukes him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There was absolutely no reason for Peter to doubt. Jesus has spoken, Jesus has commanded, and Jesus was keeping him on the surface of the water. There was no reason for Peter to doubt. There's no reason for us to doubt. There's no reason for us to worry. Jesus has spoken, Jesus has commanded, Jesus is with us. But he did. Jesus rebukes him. But he also walks him back to the boat, doesn't he? He chastises him, gently chastises him, but he also takes him back to the boat. He doesn't leave us. They get back in the boat. Fifth lesson, final lesson. The purpose of Jesus' lessons is worship. We see that in these final verses. Those in the boat worshiped him. And they exclaim, truly, you are the Son of God. And that, my friends, is the ultimate purpose. In every lesson, Jesus teaches us that we may worship him for who he is. What they missed with the loaves and fish, they got with the boat. The purpose was not to create a distance. The purpose was not to tire them out fighting against the waves. The purpose was not to frighten them. The purpose was not for Peter to feel like he's drowning. The purpose, these were teaching tools. These were things setting the context and the stage. The purpose was worship. You see, friends, that's what we were created to do. And that's where we find our greatest joy and satisfaction in life. And so Jesus is faithful to teach us those lessons over and over and over again to keep us coming back to him in worship and worship and worship. To trust him, to obey him, to believe in him, to learn his faithfulness, to learn his power, to experience his grace and mercy, all that we might worship him as the Son of God. You know, you can learn a lot from water, especially when you're sinking in it. So in conclusion, the question for us today is, what is Jesus teaching us? What is Jesus teaching you? What is Jesus teaching me through this coronavirus crisis? Whatever he is teaching, we can be sure it's going to lead us to worship. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to sing a song to allow us to respond, to reflect on these lessons that Jesus is teaching us. And as I do, remember, you can respond to us. If you desire Christ, let us know. We'll get back in touch with you. If you desire someone to pray for you, let us know what that prayer request is. If you have a question or a concern, let us know what those are. And we'll get back in touch with you. Let us pray. Father, be with us in these days of uncertainty and unsettledness. Father, help us to keep coming back to your word. Lord, you are teaching us. Help us learn. Help us learn that Jesus is with us. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is God. We need not be afraid, but we can worship. We can cry out to you. Lord, be with us in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you. for listening to Will Owens.